Right? This is the third section of our renewed series 5 or continued series 5. So I'd like to target series 5, part 2, section 3. Hallelujah. Let's hold our hands together to say this word. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation
that's found in the written word. Our eyes behold Jesus, even as he sees us. He's glorified, glorified, to walk in the light of the world, every day of our lives. Amen.
Glory to God. So, understanding the gospel series 5, part 2, section 3. Permit me 2 years. Three. Hallelujah. Okay. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Yeah, they're going to permit me. I'm going to be opening my Bible.
Not as fast as I used to. I got a new Bible.
Amen. So, I'm not used to it. But I was studying yesterday and there are some scriptures you just know how to open your Bible and like wait.
Amen. It happens like that.
Glory to God. Amen. The books of the generations. That's the word Genesis. Generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Hallelujah. Now, we said he's writing the story of Jesus, and he wants you to see where he's writing from. So he goes to Genesis. Amen. I said the same thing to every writer of the synoptic and every prophet. They were interpreting from a previous prophet. Did you see that? We said that, right? Every prophet is interpreting from a previous prophet. The same way the writers of the synoptic will be interpreting from the prophet and Moses. Hallelujah. So everybody goes back to Moses' Genesis. So Matthew will say the book of the generation. So you have the word Genesis. Amen. Genealogy, Genesis. So it takes your mind back again to the Genesis. And he's writing about the incarnation of Jesus. It takes your mind to Genesis chapter 5. Hallelujah. Abraham begat Isaac. Your mind will go back again to the read. So, making you see that the Genesis is his primary source. Or put it like this, the 39 book is one or his primary source. Amen. Source document of this material. Is it? So, what you have as the source document of this material is what? The Genesis down to Malachi. Did you get that? Amen. Mark. And remember I said they were writing the story of Jesus, not just a man alone, but as God became a man. Right? God became a man. And they restricted it, not though it's called eyewitness account, they were writing the eyewitness from scriptures. Did you see that? Amen. So the story of Jesus is not told as a mere story, it's told as scripture fulfilled. Mark 1, we say the beginning, archaeomai, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So, he brings in that word again, Son of God. The same what Matthew will call the Son of Abraham, Son of David, the Son of Abraham. I will say that is he making you see that what Jesus is both divine, it's both deity and man, but yet it was Son of David, Son of Abraham. I've told you that. It means what? The offspring of God through the lineage of man. It's very simple. Hallelujah. Through the lineage of man. That you see it well. Hallelujah. That God is going to be a man. And he will be writing from the beginning. Archaeomai. Another shade of word for Genesis. So, you have to go back to the beginning of writing, which is Moses, the Genesis. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. So, we find John.
John. And remember, you said they were writing it, they were very emphatic when they wrote. That they were writing emphatically that Jesus is God. Hallelujah. The writing says practically that Jesus is God. Hallelujah. So we say Jesus is God is middle.
in scripture. Major. It's not an aside. It's major in scripture. Now John 1. He says, John will also open up with, now, remember I told you, know what the background is. The background to John's synoptic is, John's synoptic was written at the point where all the synoptic were written. In fact, all the epistles have been written. Amen. All the, or put like, all the epistles were already in circulation, so John wrote. At the point, you know, history had it that he was the last apostle alive. So when people began to doubt the deity of Jesus, so he wrote. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, so he wrote. And look at how he opens up. Writing about the story of Jesus, he said he wrote both the synoptic and he wrote epistles. So what I say to people at times is read John's epistle, right? First John, Second John, and Third John. Together with the synoptic, you see the flow. Hallelujah. You see that flow. So he said, in the beginning was the Word. He went, goes again to that beginning, archaeomai. He said, the beginning was the Word. Dabar. Logos, we have the word Dabar. Here was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Don't think he's talking about spoken words here. Amen. Alone. I don't want to say a spoken words at all. He's not referring to spoken words here. He's referring to the Dabar. He said the beginning is the Dabar. You see that? You know, when you use your spoken words here, and not that word became flesh, you might miss out a very vital detail when you start thinking the word, as you were speaking the word, was forming hand, forming leg, forming... Amen. But the Dabar is referring to God within the 39 books, the visible reality of God within the 39 books. Amen. The visible, so he says that Dabar. Now remember, the Dabar came to who? Came to Jacob. Or first of all, he appeared to Abel. I mean, why did I say Abel? To Abraham. Genesis 15, verse 4, it says the word of the Lord, the Dabar Yahweh. That's the word, Dabar Yahweh came to Abraham in a vision. Genesis 15, verse 1, verse 4, the Dabar Yahweh of the Lord, or the Dabar Yahweh came to Abraham in a vision, saying. Do you see that? Saying. So you find it. Making you see that that Dabar Yahweh is the visible reality of God within the 39 books. Hallelujah. Amen. Jacob had an encounter with him. In Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28. Hallelujah. Had an encounter with him. He says, behold, he said, when he was in a vision, just like his father Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. Now he said he was in a vision, and then he saw a ladder from the earth, which reached up to the heavens. This is that. And the Lord stood above it. Did you see that? Visible reality of God. The Lord stood above it. When he woke up, he said, how dreadful is this? They said, the Lord was in his place and I knew it not. So what did he do? He picked a stone and then he poured oil on it and called the name of the place Bethel. Did you see that? Amen. He called it Bethel. So he saw, he had a visit, or he had an encounter with the visible reality of God. Another person is Samuel. Samuel, in front of Samuel, the Lord called out to Samuel. Called out to Samuel, went to Eli. In verses 7 into 9, the Lord, the Bible says the Lord came and stood like the other times and called his name. In chapter 3, that's in chapter 3, verse 21, it says, the Lord appeared to Samuel in Goshen by the name, the word of the Lord. You see that? By the name, the word of the Lord. So this is the visible reality of God within the 39 books. Amen. Did I say Goshen? No, not Goshen. Shiloh. Amen. Permit me. Goshen was in Egypt. Goshen was in Egypt. Amen. Did I discover Goshen was in Egypt? I was like, woohoo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Okay. I'm going to be sure. Genesis 3:21. Yeah, Lord appeared to in Shiloh. Yeah, I'm correct. Shiloh. Not Goshen, but Shiloh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Amen. So, it's very vital. So, John was very emphatic. He's writing about the story of Jesus, right? write about the story of Jesus, and then he goes again to the beginning for you to see that Jesus, he then goes to verse 14 and says that word became flesh, to make you see that Jesus is deity. You see that? Jesus is deity. See, disbelieve this, you are not a believer. Amen. Jesus is deity. That was what the apostles believed in. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. This is what they believed in. Hallelujah. This is what they believed in. Jesus is deity. You'll find it very emphatic in the writings of all the apostles and in their message. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Like you say that when Jesus is God. Very direct.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, take note. They all wrote so that you go back to their source document. Don't get detached from their source document, which is the chapter 9 books, what we call the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, that said, a good Bible student will always go back to reread. Did you say that? A good Bible student will always go back to reread where they wrote from and understand the cultural context, or what we call cultural connotation, cultural context of words. Hallelujah. Because words will have its cultural context. Listen, words will have its cultural context in their world. Now, the hazard many times people make is to read words in their world. No. In fact, permit me to put it this way. Words used within the New Testament books. No, this is understanding the gospel, so I'm free to say some things as regards, you know what I mean, as regards on Bible hermeneutics. Hallelujah, I can say it here very well. Though Bible hermeneutics is what I do in all my teachings too. But now, even when words are found within the New Testament books as the point, you must also go give it its meaning from where the writer was speaking it from. You see that? First. Because when you see where they are writing from, right? When you see where they are writing from, the Tabernacle, that means the word has its original meaning where within the Tabernacle. So you understand that word or the narrative of that word, which is a shorthand, in the 39 books, its cultural content within the 39 books, then you will see why or how the writer within the New Testament books is applying it or is interpreting. Did you get it? Is interpreting and applying it to his world. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. So because the writers of the New Testament books, what they were doing or what they are doing is the same thing you are doing. They are interpreting to their own audience. Do you get it? So that means we are crossing two barriers, two language barriers, Greek and Hebrew. Whereas the Greek is interpreting from the Hebrew, you are interpreting the Greek also from the Hebrew to your word today. Hope you're following me. So we hear words like Gaba, words. You have logos, right? It's logos, right? But if you leave it as logos alone, I said something to Ross. I said this during revelation of God. I said many times you cannot take away translation from interpretation, because translation is part of interpretation. You cannot interpret without translating. So when words, for you, if you understand that the words you have at the New Testament books were written in Greek 100%, they were written in Greek, right? Written in Greek. But what they were reading from is an Hebrew text. So that means they had to cross a language barrier in their world. Okay, hear me? They had to cross a language barrier in their world. The Greek. Okay, wait. They crossed that language barrier. So in crossing the language barrier, many times, when it comes to translation, you also see that... let me not use the word bias in translation. You always find that gap many times in translation. So for example, where you have the word logos. Now, because the verbiage logos in the word of the New Testament writer, you might not find that Dabayawi. Isn't that? Amen.
You may not find it as a person. You always find it as it's just a reason for an action. The word logos is where you find half the word logo. Do you do that? Amen. You might meet that point where you have the Damaya. But when you go back to where he's writing from, right? Where he's writing from, and he's reading from the Hebrew manuscripts, and he sees Daba Yahweh, he sees Logos, and he picks the word Daba Yahweh and calls him God. And you think he's talking about words spoken across different times, now have legs and hands. No, you'll miss it. Because when you use the word Daba, you will discover that Daba is used for a person. And he said the Daba in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. Right? And the Word was God. You will be very particular or a direct or a very intelligent reader will know that it is the Daba Yahweh that is called God within the 39 days. And the Daba Yahweh was visible. Did you see that? Was visible to those that had encounter with him. Did you that? So, and they know it is God. And he differentiated from an angel. Do you get that? They know this is God. Glory to God. Okay, follow me. The news is God.
Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. So you have to be intelligent to go back again and repeat in their word.
Subject words to their word. Now, so that means I must subject words to the words of the epistles alone. I have to subject it first to the original language, Hebrew, right? Because that's where they were reading from. Subject it there first. Look at how they use it within the New Testament writers, right? And then interpret it also. Apply it to your word. That's what you do to your word. You apply it to your word. But this is in your word. Apply it to your word. Was that what I've taught you? Have I taught you that before? Have I taught you? Why are you talking as if you've not been reading your notes? Have I taught you? Okay. So we got looking at the word name and to call, right? Last week I know I spent my time teaching you about the Christos, right? Was it last week? Last week? Okay. Now I said the word call, name to call. I would say that is the word quara and shem. To call and name shem. What you have as onomia is the Greek name and kalio for call. Now if you said in their word, it implies to give functionality. To give functionality. You know, I told you, or to speak of what one's purpose is. To speak of what one's purpose is. What someone will achieve or accomplish. And that will be in their culture. That culture is not the same with our culture today. Today people will answer me in bread, and it's not bread of life. People answer it in stone. Amen. And it's not rock of it. People answer it in fish. I wrote a fish that they ate in the wilderness. Amen. People answer all sorts of names. Very soon people start giving the names of their children AI. Amen. AI. People have names. Glory to God. Some people bear names. They say some people in their culture, they will carry coin and throw it on the floor. The name, as the coin form the name of the person. So you will not be scared, someone will answer the name Cantabor. Amen. But you have names. Somebody's name is Hurricane. I heard you said, someone's name is Charles Hurricane. People say, what's the meaning there? Bro, calm down, it doesn't have any effect today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But in their culture, he used to speak of what one does. And we looked at it also within Genesis, within the Old Testament, we used to speak of what God will do. Right? Right? What God is, God starts in the earth. God starts in the earth. We saw all that. Hallelujah. So,
something we're going to see later on, is that name Joshua. So, let's see something. In Luke 24, verse 44. Luke 24, 44. Let's see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Luke 24, 44. It says,
and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me.
Now this is Jesus speaking. He says, concerning me. So we explore, we began looking at this last 2 weeks and last week. We were looking at it from verses 27. But let's look at it. It says, the things concerning me. Now, we said this is to a larger house, right? A larger house, right? Concerning him.
So, the scope of this study was more expansive than that of verses 27. Verse 27 was talking about him being the, of not the Christos. Isn't that?
So he was more focused on the Christos' suffering and entry into his glory. Hallelujah. But now it's more expansive. And I said concerning me.
Would that also include concerning his name? Right? Concerning his name? So I remember that I took us on that journey of concerning ought not the Christ to suffer and enter into his glory.
Begin as many of the things concerning himself. We
went through that journey during CLC. But here's another journey concerning me. So more expansive, right?
Now, can we say it's also concerning his name there?
Can you see? Concerning me, his name. Hallelujah. His name. So when Jesus spoke, talk them about his name also. In Exodus chapter 3, let's see the importance of that. In Exodus 3, verses 13, God is sending Moses to Egypt, and he says to him, he says, Moses said, go tell them that the God of their father. Now verse 13, now Moses said unto them, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, what shall I say to them? The God of your fathers has sent me unto you? And they shall say to me, what is his name? You see that? What shall I say to them?
So he said, because they know the God of your father. They know the God of your father. They say, what is his name? They know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Abraham. But they say, what is his name? He said, they don't know what his name is. No, but they ask. But he said, they will ask, what is his name? Moses knew what was asking of. What is his function? You see that? What is his function? What is his name? So name is used for function. Shem. What is his function? What is his purpose?
Why are you telling us this? That's what it is. Why are you telling us this? What is his name?
Amen. Amen.
What is his name? And he said in verse 14, God said to him, I am that I am. Hallelujah. Mark that. He says, what is his name? He says, I am that I am.
Let's see something we said the last time.
Look at chapter 6. We're getting there. Chapter 6, verses 3. You know what God said to Abraham, to Moses. He said, I appeared to Abraham. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by my function, by the name of God Almighty. Hallelujah. It's actually the word by the name there is italicized. It's actually, I appeared unto Jacob, right? By God Almighty. Hallelujah. God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah, we're going to explore this in this teaching. But by my name Jehovah, was I not known unto them? It is by the name of God Almighty. Now we say when you use the word Almighty there, it's when you have the word Shaddai. Exodus 6 verse 3. It's when you have the word Shaddai. Now, we say the word there is used for a wide land. Right? It's used for a wide land.
Wild desert actually. Why desert? We know that the word land also, another word for land is the word eret.
Amen. Eret.
Why land? Why desert?
That is to find out. He says,
I appeared to Abraham when he says that your mind should go immediately. Right? Your mind should go immediately to Genesis 17. Genesis 17, verses 1. Let's see where he appeared to Abraham. Genesis 17, 1. Are you there? So when Abraham, okay, follow me. When Abraham was 90 years old, 90 years and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am Almighty God. Did you see that? I'm what? Almighty God. Walk before me, and that's the word I am El Shaddai. Find it again in Genesis 28. Genesis 28. When Isaac was blessing Jacob, look at what he says, verse 3, he says, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful. So that means he knows God as Almighty Shaddai. Did you see that? Did you see that? Shaddai. Okay, follow that. Almighty God, Shaddai. So he knows him as Shaddai. In chapter 33, no, chapter 35, verse 11. 35, verse 11. Let's see that now. God speaking to Jacob, verse 11 said, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty, the fruitful and multiply. Is that? I am God Almighty. So Jacob, I am so when he said, appear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but you find it in the Exodus, I mean in the Genesis, El Shaddai. You find it also in Genesis 48:3, just for reference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who said, had the promise of the land. Watch it. Now, what does he say to
Jacob in verse 11 here? He says, I'm God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come to thy loins. What was that in verse 12? And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac. What is the land?
You think it is Canaan? No.
He said, the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, right? To thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. You see that?
He said, to thee will I give. And to thy seed.
What is that land? He has said, I am God Almighty.
Now what is he having to do in the land? Be fruitful and multiply. You see that? Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to see that's going to come out very vital shortly.
Amen. So, what we have in the land will be what?
What is this son will have in the land? The fruitful and multiply. So, fruitfulness is an instruction for the believer. Don't miss it. It's a very vital part of this teaching. Understand the gospel?
Fruitfulness is an instruction in the land. How about following me? Now, take note of what he said to Jacob. He said, to thy seed will I give this land. To thee and thy seed. Say,
so what did he say? I concerning Abraham and Isaac. He said, I gave them the land. Did you see that? He said, I will give it to thee and thy seed. And the instruction there is to be fruitful and multiply. So let's see, is this land going to be Canaan? Take note of the instruction in the land. Fruitfulness and multiplication. Does it deal with people? It deals with people. Amen.
Amen. You find the same instruction to Abraham. I mean to Adam, rather. Adam, the same instruction in Genesis 1:28. Do you see that? And what did God do in chapter 2? He created man. He formed man from the dust of the earth. He took the man which he had created and kept the man in Eden.
To do what? To dress and to keep it. And remember I told you, Eden will also stand together with the land. Eden and the land will be one and the same. So, that means, that duty of That duty of dressing and keeping, right, is related to the fruitfulness.
Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. To dress and to keep it. I would say that word there, to dress and to keep, talks about the role of a what?
Of a priest. Hallelujah. Priest. God stacks in all the earth. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Hallelujah. So why is it the same instruction? Be fruitful in the land.
Okay, follow me. Be fruitful in the land. So Moses now wrote for you to see, to be away from the land is what sin does. Unbelief takes you away from God's land.
Hope you're saying it. Hallelujah. Hope you're saying it.
Yes, amen. So Moses isn't writing that salvation can be lost. No, don't read that. I've heard someone read that. No.
Moses is just writing, is painting a scenario. What keeps people away from God is unbelief. Did you see that? Amen. So he puts man in the garden to show you God's intention for man is to be in the garden. But what can separate man from the garden? Unbelief. So it's writing for you to see what unbelief does.
Okay, follow me. Amen. So don't miss it at any time. Okay. So take note of that. So it said, and to the land. Now the word land, there's the word eretz there. I gave to Abraham, and I to thee will I give it. So you find that instruction there. Right?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And remember, God has said he is that desert land. He is that desert, that wild land. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So when he says, to the land will I give thee, he's referring to himself. We're going to see that shortly. Remember, who is going to stay in the land? Jacob and his descendants after him, right? So he gets to them again in Exodus 6. Get back to Exodus 6. We're going to explore these two scriptures, Exodus and Genesis, a bit in this teaching. Exodus 6. Are you there? Are you there? Okay, Exodus 6. Look at what it says there in verses 4. Yeah, what it says there? It says, okay, let's have a verse. Appear to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob by my name Almighty and by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. Watch it. I've established my covenant with them. Is that what we read also? Is that what we read? My covenant? Covenant of the land. Now, it says to give them the land of Canaan. The land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. Stop. When it said the land of Canaan there, was it using Canaan as the land or as a symbol? As a symbol. Okay, you hear me? So Canaan there will be a symbol. Because you didn't find Canaan from what he said earlier. You didn't see that? So Canaan becomes that symbol that he's going to take them out of Egypt's pole. Do you see that? So Canaan will not be that land flowing with milk and honey. Will there be literal milk and honey there? No. What's your problem with it? So when you think you are going to Canaan to see milk and honey falling, no. Amen. Milk and honey will be a figurative expression. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're with me. Okay, let's go further. He says, I'll give you. Now, watch it. He says, and I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage. Now, and I have remembered my covenant. Take notes.
I said something to us. And I said, when you talk about the story of redemption, right? I'm trying to tear this teaching into parts. That I take a certain part now, and then I'll continue with some other part. If I'm to teach us on the totality of redemption or salvation together in this series, we will do it for the rest of the year, 52 weeks. I'm not joking.
Amen. So I'm trying to take it in piecemeal, that you see it all as a whole in the coming days and coming years. Hallelujah. Because I said, when you talk about redemption, you have to first of all start from where? I said this on Sunday. Where?
stop their entry into Egypt.
What does it signify?
You see that?
You have to answer that question. How did they get to Egypt? How did they get to Egypt? Now they are in Egypt. What does Egypt mean?
So, before they know, so God has took them to Egypt. No! In fact, I could read several where God warned them not to go to Egypt. Not to settle in Egypt. Because there was famine. All the nations went to Egypt during famine and they came back. But Israel didn't come back. Amen? Did you see that? So, their journey to Egypt shows you man's will. Man's will. And I say it does. Man's will. You shouldn't be a strong-willed person as a believer.
Don't.
In terms of following God's plan.
Be a strong will.
Amen.
Be careful.
You find man's will, then you find man's action of slavery. They sold their brothers to slavery. You see that? And they journeyed there and settled there. In fact, to now make them feel that made them more comfortable. Pharaoh and gave them Goshen. The choice place in Egypt. Sin. And then they became slaves. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. So that's man's will, right? Against God's purpose. Come on. Man's will against God's purpose is called. Against God's purpose, that's sin already. You've missed the mark. That's sin already. And then you now have bondage. So Egypt is now used to signify bondage, slavery, sin, man's will. Is that? Amen. So you must always find that journey away. There was a journey away. Right? A man has found rest in outside God's will. God was in Egypt. Hallelujah. Okay, following you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Abraham went to Egypt and came. Isaac was to go to Egypt when there was famine. God said, don't settle in Egypt. Don't go to Egypt. Don't settle there. There was an instruction. Don't settle there. Hallelujah. Don't settle there. But man had to go to settle there. He went there to
But it was an instruction against Egypt. Why? Because Moses was writing for you to see Egypt as bondage, as sin in scriptures. Amen. What am I going to be? Glory to God. Glory to God. So let's go further. So there was that journey to Egypt again. Now look up at verse 4. It says, and I have also established my covenant with them. I will give them the land of Canaan. Up to verse 5. Remember, God said, we'll bring them to Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage. And I have also heard the goddess of the children of Israel, whom the Jews have kept in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord your God. I will bring you out from the bodies of the Egyptians. Thank you. Look at that. Right? He said, I will rid you out of their bondage. And redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment. So he is redeeming them to where? To where? The land. Did you see that? Is he redeeming them to the land? Now watch the next verse. Let's see what the land now means. Verse 7. And I will set you to me for a people. Where is the destination? To a land unto him. Come on. Where is the destination? Is it to a physical land unto him? Is this the destination of the land? This is the definition of the land. It's not to a place. Canaan was only used as a symbol. But he was to take them unto who? Himself. Did you see that? So the destination away from Egypt is to God. Not to a land. Not to a physical land. Hope everyone knowing that. Did you see that? So did you see why he called himself Shaddai? Did you see that? To Abraham. Because it's telling Abraham right from the Genesis that he is the land. Okay, brother. He is the land. The land. He is the land. Glory to God. He is the land. Hallelujah. So the destination away from Egypt is to God. Take you unto me as a people. And I'll be to you a God, and ye shall know I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the bodies of the Egyptians. Hallelujah. Then verse 8, that I will bring you into the land. This is that. So where has he called the land before? Himself. Hallelujah.
I'll bring it to me, I'll bring it to the land. Used interchangeably. So the land is used for God.
Amen. Amen. So when Ezekiel sees that, and when Ezekiel sees that, he now writes,
you now find it in Ezekiel, have the spirit.
Did you see that?
I'll put my spirit within you. I'll take you from the hidden, and I'll put my spirit within you. I'll cleanse you with clean water.
Did you see that?
That is the land. Hallelujah. So the land is not our place, but who? God.
Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Glory to God. Glory to God. So let's get back to Genesis, Exodus 3. So the land, the destination of the land is God. So before we get to Genesis 3,
Exodus 3, God will reveal himself to them based on his function towards the promise. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And why will he use land? He will use what is available to them in their world. And that what was available is land. You see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God will also borrow their mode of communication. Imagine they have AI and computer in those days. The only thing is the computer words that we use is AI. Right? AI. You find new words like computing. Right? Right? But because their words were agrarian by nature, by occupation, they will use what was available to them in their world.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Exodus 3. Back there. So in verse 14, in verse 13 to 14, it says, what is thy name? What is thy function? This God's response, I am that I am. Ehi Asha Ehi. I am that I am.
Ehi Asha
Ehi. Hallelujah. I am that I am. Now, that word I am there, Ehi, E-H-Y-E-H, or Haya, H-A-Y-A-H, is used to say I am or I will be. It's both a present and a future tense, or a future statement. I am or I will be.
I am or I will be what I will be. I am that I am. I will be what I will be. Did you see that? I will be. I am.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that is a statement of God's faithfulness. I am and I will be. Or put I am that I will be. Or I will be what I am. Hallelujah. Amen. A statement of God's faithfulness in redemption. Why did I say that? He was going to redeem them.
And then he used the same word that Moses would employ in Genesis 1:3 for how the light will shine in darkness. Isn't that? Amen? How the light will shine in darkness. He used the same word.
Remember, Egypt will be darkness. Hallelujah. Egypt will be Genesis 1:2.
Darkness. What are you doing? And what will God do? Light will shine. Deliverance. Isn't that?
So light shining in darkness is deliverance. Salvation. Light shining in darkness is salvation. Is deliverance. So God said in Genesis 1:3, I am light in darkness. He says, I am light. I am light in darkness. So yeah,
he's going to Egypt. Darkness, and says to them, I am that I am. I will be what I am. You see that? I am light. And then that means what is going to happen in Egypt will be redemption, will be salvation. Light is going to shine. Hallelujah. Light is going to shine. It's going to mean what? Deliverance. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. It will be deliverance.
So I am will be God's name in redemption. In redemption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Light in darkness. light in darkness. Now, that word I am, Ehi, is where you have the word Yahweh. Yahweh. You have the word Yahweh in Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 6, sorry, verses 2 and verses 3. Exodus 6, 2. Says, and God spoke unto Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. That's the word there. I am Yahweh. Says, by my name, Almighty, was I known to who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. But by my name, Jehovah, Lord, by my name Jehovah, we can put the word I am.
Watch it. By my name Jehovah, I am, because the root word for Yahweh is I am. Okay, by my name Yahweh was I not known to them.
How did you say by your name Yahweh? Well, you don't know. But how come Moses will write Yahweh in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. Take note. What Moses is doing is interpretation. Hallelujah. He's writing to an audience that is out of Egypt. And he's writing to them about who?
About who?
About what?
The oracles of Yahweh. So you use the word that they are known, that they've known him with. Yahweh. You see that?
Hope I follow you.
So it shouldn't be lost to him. Hallelujah. He will use Yahweh.
Because that's the name they are used to now. Hallelujah. For he says, I am Yahweh. Yahweh. So a typical Jew, when he hears
the Dabba Yahweh, they know Yahweh. They hear
Dabba
Yahweh, right?
They know it's Yahweh.
Typical
Hebrew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when they hear Dabba Yahweh, they know that Dabba Yahweh will be a man. And he will be the I am. He will be a man. And as a man, he will be a typical Jew knows that.
Hallelujah. Because it's only God that uses the name, that function, I am.
Something we're going to say in the conversations between God and man is the word, you know, the word Yahweh and I am.
You find it. So they know that the Dabba is going to be the I am.
Hallelujah.
Remember I told you, these were conversations that Moses had that would ask Moses to say, Lord, show me your glory.
See that? Amen. Conversation like this, he knew that those signs and those spectacular wasn't the real glory. Amen. It's not only that that is not the glory, but it's not the real thing. There's the real thing. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
There's the real one. They show me that.
You know what was asking about Jesus? Was asking to see the Dabba Yahweh as a man.
Hallelujah. So, automatically, if you watch scholars, then you went in Deuteronomy 18 verse 15, when Moses said, a prophet like unto me, they knew that it was not going to be, that wasn't referring to a physical person. They knew.
Hallelujah.
In fact, they knew that it was the Lord. Was the Lord? And I showed you that in John, right? In John chapter 1 verse 45, John 1 45, John chapter 4.
John 23 to 25. You find it there.
Romans say we know that the Messiah cometh, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will show us all things. Didn't he? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That God will become a man. But what they didn't know is how he will become a man. How he will come.
Amen.
Amen. So what they now thought was, because Moses was the one that led them out of captivity.
Listen. And God delivered them.
So whenever they go into captivity, there's always that deliverance.
True, amen.
So remember, they were in the Roman captivity. So they were not expecting, they were also expecting the Messiah again. Someone that will come and deliver them.
This is that.
They expected. But they didn't expect it. They didn't expect it to be born. They expected something mystical.
It just happened.
The Messiah will just show from the cloud. Amen. They were expecting something mystical to happen. So, at some point in Genesis, in John chapter 7, John showed that they had confusion. Amen. You know, they had confusion. They say, if this guy is the Messiah, is it the Christ? But we know where it's from. And the Christ, we shouldn't know where it's from. This is the answer. Others in another part, in verses, I guess that should be verses 27, we now say Genesis 7, I mean John 7 27. We now say no. The Messiah will be from Bethlehem. Did you see that? No, it's not from Bethlehem. So Jesus now asked them in Matthew 22, the Christ, whose son is he?
See that? Now they are Moses' son.
And they say, how come Moses called him God? Did you see that? That means they had to answer the questions in their mind. Amen. They couldn't comprehend. That was because they didn't read the Bible. Did you see that? A major challenge that the Pharisees had.
A major challenge. Because they didn't expect that the Messiah will be a man, will function as a man. Hallelujah. In fact, in John 10, I'm not showing you some things about the Pharisees.
In John 10, Jesus asked them, Christ told me, many good works have I done. And he said, no, for the good works you stone me. Because thou, being a man, says you are God, you stone me. This is that same like thing. So, he said, a man cannot be the Christ. That's what they are trying to say. A man can't be the Christ.
Yet, Moses said,
a prophet like unto me. Now, what was Moses say? What will happen later?
But Moses said that a boy was already born.
I'm trying to relate that to Emmanuel, but I'm not going to do it in this session. I'll do it later. That a boy was already born.
At a point when the children of Israel needed deliverance, and they named him Joshua. Watch it, Joshua. Remember I said name is used to point to God's function, right?
The name is Joshua, which is what where you have the word Yasha or Yahushua. Yahushua. Yahweh will say. Yahweh Yasha. Yahweh will say. So they were looking forward to God's salvation from Egypt. And they named the young boy Joshua. God will save. Did you see that? God will save us. God will deliver us.
Hallelujah. Watch it. God will say, so they had their hopes on God for deliverance. Hope you are with me now. Okay, God will save. Now, that young man
now became the ruler that led them into the land. It was a symbol for something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then, and I answered that question during the past one, and I said, why is his name Jesus? Right? From scripture. Remember, he wasn't the only one answering Jesus. So that is why I told you that the power in the name,
is not in the pronunciation. Yeshua, Yahushua, Yahasha, Yahishu, Yahishu, Yacham.
He will call him Yacham. Call him, Jesus.
No. It is actually calling the name with a function. The name is when,
like I said, when Moses said, do not call the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But they do not call it without a function. It's a calling without a function. So, what's the function of his name?
Hallelujah.
What's the function of the name? Hallelujah. What's the function of the name? Why is he calling the name?
Glory to God. With a function, with a purpose.
Victory. Hallelujah.
That is not going to permit me to get into some other details. But I'm trying to get into where I didn't get to last week. Amen.
Glory to God. That is what I thought. Glory to God. I have with my car on Friday, so I can have a teaching session on Saturday. Amen.
But let's just take this. Hallelujah. So,
you have to
call the name with a function.
Function.
Because name deal with authority.
With a function.
So that name Jesus, when you call Jesus, what's the function of authority in the name?
Hallelujah. So the power in the name is in its function.
That's why the seven sons of Sceva couldn't do anything. They called the name of Jesus to Paul Peace. They said Jesus will know Paul will know why.
Amen.
You will ask, who is Jesus that you call? Because it was Paul who had a function. Because someone else can say, in the name of Jesus, that Paul put his hand to God. Because he understood the function of the name of Jesus that for him is that.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Number two, you know the authority behind the name. What does he with authority behind the name? The authority behind the name. The authority behind the name.
Hallelujah.
Authority behind the name. And that is the authority that is in the land. Hallelujah. That the people in the land bears. We're going to deal with all that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, like I said, the typical Jew knows what the I am is. Or who the I am is. He will be. So we say Jesus, we answer the name Jesus, right? According to scripture. Hallelujah. The new Joshua. The new Yasha. Yahweh Yasha. The new I am.
This is because underneath the root word of Yahweh, where you have
Yasha or Yahushua, is that word I am.
See that?
Amen. Yahweh will save. I am will save. Hallelujah. So Jesus bears that name. He bears that name because it is the name in redemption. Hallelujah. Now, take note of what I said were the key points for the Pharisees. The Pharisees.
They were expecting a mystical Savior.
They didn't believe the Savior was going to be a man born of a woman like that. Like that. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So that was already, in fact,
they also had this belief that Jesus was born out of adultery, out of fornication, sorry. Because, remember, when Jesus was speaking to them, in John chapter 8, it's actually John 8, when he spoke about the way Abraham was I am.
They thought they were not born out of fornication, at least you know. Those guys are crazy.
They were not born out of fornication. You know, there are people, when people get married, you think you are dancing and celebrating. People are waiting for the next 9 months. If your wife gives them before 9 months, Mom of God! People are celebrating!
They can manage for someone like that in my office once.
They say, how do you go for wedding? He just sees more. He starts. You don't carry. You do that. See, that character didn't die yesterday. He didn't die yesterday at all.
Hey, you didn't see that. 6 months! We came to meet you.
Carry your lady up.
We're going to be gay. We're going to be 6 months. And you do what you want. Then you are there. You're a demon. Look at me.
We know. It's crazy. Does someone play away match before the belief should give me money? Anyway, people are like that. When you say in 9 months time we'll come to the city. They are traveling to the city. When you about 9 months, they began to call how far now? How far now? Where are we coming? I say calm down. We have an agreement. When you say,
You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time. You have to do something for a long time
People are crazy. So they did that with Jesus. They got rid of it.
Watch those key highlights that I pointed. Now the question I want us to answer tonight as we go is, what did Paul see on the way to Damascus? Why did Paul, you know, that was a major encounter that turned around the life of Paul. And many times people have had problems and issues understanding what happened.
They were just, when it was that Paul, then Jesus just said, I am he. And everything changed. They didn't understand that statement, I am Jesus. That, in fact, that statement of Jesus defined all of Paul's ministry. Amen. My pastor would then say that's where you have the in Christ reality in Paul's message. Paul's identification in Christ.
Paul's understanding Paul's how should I put that? Paul's identification. Right? You'll find identification.
That statement alone. Paul is a Pharisee.
Hallelujah. Paul is a Pharisee. Carry on with me.
So this last week, as I'm going back to again. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Now, take notes. Paul, being a Pharisee, was not just any other Pharisee. Was an astute Pharisee, very intelligent. He learned from the best. He went to the best university.
Best university in Israel. Amen. You know, you can't be Amasoma. How?
Want to be catching fish? No. It can only be here. You can't be Amasoma. You can't be Novena. Only they train them how to catch something. Or is it Abuja? Where they begin to rear cow. So it can't be any of this. It can only be the lion's den.
When you learn the religion. Amen. So, Paul learned from the best.
I showed us in the part one, Paul's defense of what he did. Right? He said, and how he brings in Phineas when without mentioning Phineas. Right? Right? Okay, let's put that forward. And let's look at something. Now, Paul's encounter with Jesus wasn't the first time Paul was hearing about the gospel. That should sort it out. What did Paul know about the gospel before now? He heard from Stephen in Acts of Apostles, quickly. Acts of Apostles, chapter 7. I'll take you through. Now, Luke wrote for you to see something. Stephen, I won't have time today to go through Stephen's teaching, but I'll find time, maybe after the teaching or before by next teaching too, make us see some key highlights of
Stephen's teaching. Very key. Stephen taught the 39 books.
Amen. And what he said, at right in the synagogue. He was in the synagogue and he said what he said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll take a few. Look at verses 43. Look at 43. I'll call verses as I read. Ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the stars of your gods, Rephan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away. Amen. And I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had tabernacles of witnesses in the wilderness, and had And he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that they should make it according to the fashion, that is what pattern, which he has showed. Which also our fathers that came after brought in Jesus, I mean, brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers, unto the days of David. So who found favor before God, and desired to find the tabernacle for God of Jacob. Now that was Jesus, is actually Joshua. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now it's translated Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And desired to find a tabernacle for the God of David. Who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. Watch it. He was right inside that synagogue. How be the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands? As saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. He goes to Isaiah 66, and the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? He says, I have not my hand made all these things. He now says in verse 61, yea, stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart, yes, and yes, yea, do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your father did, yea, also. He said, which of the prophets have your fathers, have not your fathers persecuted? Did you say that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He says, can you say which of the Christ, right?
Yes, sir.
And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now, the betrayers and murderers. Now he's doing something to their minds. That what they've done to the prophet, their fathers done to the prophet, they've done to Jesus. Hallelujah. He says, who have received the law by the disposition of an angel and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost. Now, when he was saying this, that the prophet killed the prophet. Now, remember, they know they killed Jesus. They know Jesus is dead, right? Not the apostles, the Pharisees. Jesus is dead. He killed him. I was saying, we pierced him down, right? They knew. So Jesus, now what Stephen is doing is relating that event to what their fathers have done. Now, when they began to talk at him and shout at him and vent their wrath, that is that word, to gnash on him with their teeth, venting their wrath on him. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into heaven. Now, he was full of the Holy Ghost, and then he looked into heaven. So, they saw him, and then he began to talk again. And then, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold! Now, watch it. So, he had, what, yeah? Divine experience, right? Encounter, right? Was that what he did? Was that what he saw? He saw something. Hallelujah. So, and behold, I see the heavens open. Now he's saying this. The Jews understand. When he said, I see the heavens open. They are not looking to the sky. But he said, I see the heavens open. Supernatural, right? He looked into heaven. As if to say something open, right? Supernatural sight, right? Sight. So he said, I see the heavens open. To understand what this guy say. Now what he said? He says, and behold, as the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And look at what he said. And they cried out with their loud voice and stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. You know what it is? When he said, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Everybody closed their ears. That is a Jewish attitude for this is blasphemy. You may get close that ears are picking stones. Hallelujah. So the moment they close their ears like that, what? Close their ears. We don't want to hear again. They're like, who will hear again? This is blasphemy. So they rush at me in one of these stones. What are they doing? What he is saying to them is that the guy they thought they killed is alive. Hallelujah. Amen. That was an upset. Glory to God. It was an upset. He said, he's alive. He's alive, he's not dead. So I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Meaning he's alive and he's walking. Well, hold on. Remember I told you I'm going to deal with that in one of our teaching meetings, right? Maybe I can, maybe one of our Sunday service just teach you about the right hand of God.
Hallelujah.
But that is the shorthand for he's alive. He's alive in his office.
Glory to God. And then what nonsense this guy says.
But he was telling them the truth. Hallelujah. He's telling them that the Savior is alive. He's not dead. Watch it. Something you mustn't miss out. Hallelujah. Look at verse 58. And they cast him out of the city and stole. He was staying it right at the tabernacle. Right at the synagogue. We was on the reflection of the tabernacle. He said, see, God didn't want you to build him this. You know, he said, God didn't want you to build him this. He went into an history. I don't want to talk about it. He mentioned more. He said, God didn't want you to build him this. Come on. He said, make it a common fashion. He said, what is, what have you to give for me? I'm a hand on bring them up. He went. Glory to God, those are two of you. See, all these worshiping guys are doing is nothing. Amen. So he was showing them the scriptures. Right? For showing them that he was reading scriptures to them. And then he said, he got to him, he said, which of the prophets, which of the Christ has your father has not killed? Which of them? The same way you have done to this guy. See what? He's alive. And watch it. When they stoned him, verse 58, he mentions it very specific. Luke was very specific. He says, and so they laid up their clothes. At, watch it. And stoned him, and witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet. Whose name was? So that means Saul was there.
Hallelujah. Luke chapter 8 verse 1.
Saul was what? Consenting unto the death, unto his death. That means Saul was the chief in charge to execute that.
Amen. So he came with all the other hands. He's a lieutenant. Amen. He's a lieutenant in the field. He's a lieutenant. So they came for some meeting day. When they submit their clothes, it does not, it's not, it's not like they literally pull that they do. So they sign or this is who they took orders. So this is their boss.
Amen. So just when they are done, they came to salute the commander. Sean, sir. Mission accomplished. Amen. So, but Luke wrote it for you to see Paul dead. So Paul had. Even though he was having, he had.
Amen.
He heard that Jesus is Lord. He heard.
The only thing that was all said there, and he said, come on, I will kill his God. And it's not just God. You found him in the supernatural. What nonsense are you saying? Do you get me?
Amen. It can't be God. It can't be God. So they killed him. They killed him. And Paul was dead. Glory to God. So in chapter 9, Ruben lost on you on his way to Damascus. Verses 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there was the shine round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard the voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Because why did he use the word Lord?
He was a Pharisee. He knew this was an encounter.
How can he know Lord?
He's not an unbeliever, and he was a Jew. He's a Pharisee.
Amen.
Amen. He knows the angry.
The word of Lord. And look at what Jesus said. He says, I am Jesus. No, wait, I am Jesus. That word Yahweh Yasha.
Isn't that? Will that make sense to him? Will that make sense to him? The man that they killed, right? Remember, he wasn't there. He wasn't in town when Jesus was killed.
He wasn't in town.
Maybe he was still doing his thing in Gamaliel's feet. But he wasn't in town. Scripture had it that Saul wasn't in town.
Glory to God. Wasn't in town. So, he came back. Maybe he went for NGA. Just came back. and I'm promoted into a lieutenant.
You're going to Sambisa.
All those kind of stuff. So he came back from NDA. Glory to God. Well, very vital. You just see it all there. Hallelujah. So when he said, I am Yahweh Yasha. Now his mind, when he heard Yahweh Yasha, his mind goes to the Dabba Yahweh. Watch it. His mind because he's educated. He never paid for fees. His brain is saluting. You see somebody, he came up on street, saw no demon. Just give him 10 years, give him demon. Give him 10 years, let him start working. That year was summoning G-Mart. Give me G-Mart now! Yeah. Let me leave G-Mart to relate to export and import. I was summoning G-Mart there. Give me G-Mart, I will feel it. It's not a joke. Amen.
Glory to God. I'm taking you guys time. I need to get here. Amen.
So, now, he could now see the Dabba Yahweh. He's educated. So his brain is hot. He could see the Dabba Yahweh. Amen. I am Jesus, Yahweh Yasha. Joshua. Amen. And now, there's the Jesus that is there, whom he called the Dabba Yahweh. Whom they attacked Herod, treated, and he bears the same name. I am Jesus, Yahweh Yasha. And take note, he's going to deal with people who are serving the same Jesus in Damascus. You see that? Now what is he going to deal with them? They were committing treason. You see that? So when he was to speak about himself, like I said to us in part one, when he was to speak about himself, he was always saying he was devious. Do you see that? So does that be for the law? How can you say there is Yahweh Yasha and there is man? No! So that's treason. Right? Or how is it called? That's blasphemy. Blasphemy! How can you call a man God? Blasphemy! Please say the word treason is wrong. Then to call Jesus what is it? It's blasphemy! Can you blaspheme God? So we're going to put them in prison, torture them, that they would come back. And did you get that? For on his way, he found the same person, Yahweh Yasha, going to deal with them for calling a man who will kill Yahweh Yasha. Right? And saying he is the Savior and that he's alive. He found that same person. We're going to persecute people about alive. Speaking, right? Found him alive. One, he could remember the Dabba, the same name, right? And the same encounter Moses, Abraham had with the same Dabba Yahweh. Dabba Yahweh is the same encounter he had. Hallelujah. You know, at this time, he's not aware whether the apostles had the same encounter. Hallelujah. He's having the same encounter. Glory to God. But they say, Dabba Yahweh. Moses had the same encounter in the burning bush. The same encounter. And he said, I am he whom thou persecuted. So he used that word, I am. I am. Ego am I. So did you see that? So that means he's finding Jesus in the I am. Amen? That is, on that encounter, he found God in Christ. Hope you are saying that. That same encounter, he found God in Christ, and he found Christ with his people. Hope you are seeing what has happened to you. He has found God in Christ, and Christ with his people in one singular encounter. I am Egoi. That was Egoi my Yahweh Yasha. And that was. That changed his life. Remember,
He has had the same message that he is alive. So they found Jesus alive in God. And he with his people. That gives him to now make you see. Or
he will now that form the totality of his life. When he said we are in Christ. Being him the reality. Paul became loud about him. About that. He will be found with his church. Hallelujah.
So when Paul writes to the church at Corinth and says, don't you know that you are the temple of the Lord? You are, referring to all of them.
God tabernacles here. Hallelujah. Amen. God tabernacles here. He will be found amongst and in his people. That is it. Hallelujah. We'll explore more on this.
Not just in this teaching, but in subsequent teaching on this. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's go more. And this now relates to Paul's revelation
about God, about the Christ. Hallelujah.
About the Christ. He will be found with his spirit.
Amen.
That is the total essence of, or that's the totality of who the Sota is. Who the Sota, the Savior is. Who the King is. He will be found with his people. Amen. This is truly the God of Israel with his people. Hallelujah. So, in that encounter, Exodus came back alive to Paul. Amen. Joshua came. Genesis came back alive.
And most especially, most importantly, the teaching of feeling. Now we resonated well with me. That Jesus is God. That became a man.
That changed the totality of his life and his ministry and his zeal. Hallelujah. Learned something? Are you sure?